Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant in your life. That means that no matter what you're going through, I believe the answer is in letting God press the good news of Jesus deeper into your life. You know, so many spouses are desperately looking for just a sign of love and hope in their marriage. Is that your marriage? Are you giving quality signs of godly love to your spouse? Join me in this episode as we discover God's love for us and how He shows us love so that we can show love to our spouses. This is the second episode in our new marriage series. And unfortunately, this week, we had a little technical glitch, and our guys did not get the first little bit of the message recorded. I'm very sorry, and if you need me to, I'll be happy to refund your money on this podcast. But if you'll be patient with me, I'll just re-record the first little bit of the message, and then we'll join the podcast in progress. In this series, we're asking the question, what is a Christian marriage? Because, you know, it seems like all marriages look alike, right? They all start off with people standing together, making promises. They go off and they build a life. They raise kids. They own homes. And they all do kind of similar things. And about half of them last forever. And the other half end in divorce, whether it's a Christian marriage or not. They all kind of look the same. Shouldn't a Christian marriage be different? Shouldn't it be new? And so we looked in Ephesians 5 last week, and we saw this key truth. Here it is. A man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Yeah, here's the truth here. Marriage, Christian marriage, draws a picture of Christ and the church. It doesn't draw a picture of me, and it doesn't draw a picture of my spouse. My Christian marriage draws a picture of Christ and the church. It's about trusting God, not self. About His truth, not my emotional experience. See, because my old nature is broken, and all I can do in my brokenness is break things. And in our old nature, that's what we do. We go through life breaking things. And frankly, the old nature just wants God to come along behind us and clean up our mess. That's what we think God's job is. But a Christian marriage is one where we walk wisely in supernatural patterns. Not old nature patterns, but godly supernatural patterns. He calls us to love as He loves. But sadly, in many Christian marriages, there seems to be no sign of godly love, no sign of something deep and abiding, no sign of something transformative at work. And often it's hard for us to show appropriate signs of love and hope in our relationships with our spouses, especially for men. You know, we just think that, you know, it's hard to take this deep, abiding, powerful thing and distill it down to a catchphrase. It just diminishes the value of the relationship when you have to say it in a phrase, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's sort of like, you know, those church marquee signs that you pass sometimes on the road as you're driving. You know, a lot of these are great. They're really, really good. And the people that have them, the churches that have them, they're very well-meaning, but they sometimes don't execute them very well, do they? You know, we know they've got something deep and abiding, a relationship with God that changes them, but when they try to distill it down into a phrase each week, sometimes it just sort of falls flat, and it can even make you want to just cringe a little bit when you read them. On Sunday, I read several of them to our group, and it got some laughs. We'll try them out here and see if they work. Here's a few of them. Hang out with Jesus. He hung out for you. Oh, doesn't that just make you want to cringe? How about this one? Tired of being a loser? Turn to God. Yeah, I wish I'd have heard that one a lot earlier in life. Try this one out. I kissed a girl, I liked it, and then I went to hell. Yep, that's a for real church sign. One more. God didn't create anything without a purpose, but mosquitoes come close. I'm not really sure what that's saying about their relationship with God, but I agree with it. It's true, I guess. I don't know. Either way, these people, I know they mean well. They want to point to God. They're not trying to point to themselves or even to their church. They're trying to point to God. But are these signs drawing a good picture of their relationship with God? Here's the truth about me. My actions in my marriage are signs pointing to God. My actions, my words, the things I do, the way I conduct my marriage, it's all signs pointing to God.
Yeah, in a Christian marriage, my actions are signs pointing to God. But as we talked about earlier, in a lot of marriages, if you scratch just below the surface, you won't see any sign of godly love. In fact, I know that there are people who may be in this room today who are here saying, I'm not sure if I can hold on to this thing anymore. I'm not sure if I can keep living this lie that I'm living, this marriage that seems to be such a farce. Yeah, I'm just not sure I can hold on any longer because this thing isn't working out for me. It's sure not working out for him, or it's sure not working out for her. It's just not working out at all, and I just don't know that there's any hope left. And maybe I just need some kind of sign that there is hope. You know, it's easy for us to get into this rut, isn't it? I mean, we get into this routine, especially if you're like us, you've been married for years. And so you're just kind of in the routine of being at home, being at work, being at church, being at home, being at work, being at church. You know, got to take the trash out, got to pay the bills, got to get the kids to school, got to take care of this problem and that problem. And you're just kind of doing the same rut year after year. And you just get into this rut of this routine and you lose the signs of love. You just kind of miss the signs anymore. You know how when you're driving on the same road over and over again, and there's billboards all over, but you just tune them out after a while? You just don't even see those things anymore? You just get desensitized to them. You get used to them. And a lot of us need to have some new signs because it's natural for us to get into this rut in our marriages. God knew this about us. He knew that we are like this. Because when he started setting up a relationship with his people in the old covenant, remember how that worked? He came and miraculously saved them from Egypt. He did this incredible miracle of salvation from bondage in Egypt. And then once he rescued them out of Egypt, he comes to them and he says, hey, I would like to establish a covenant with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. Would you like to enter into that relationship? And of course they were like, well, yeah, we've seen what you're all about. We want to be in on that relationship. And so he said, great, let's establish this covenant together. And so he gives the law and he gives the sacrifices, right? He kind of gives all that structure for us so that we can have a relationship with him. But in Leviticus 23, he gives us something really, really interesting. There in Leviticus, we see him describing how the Jewish people actually are to regularly practice the festivals and the feasts. There are certain times of year where you just stop everything. You get away from the job. You get away from the house. You get away from your regular everything. You just don't make money during this time. You don't do anything else. You turn everything else off and you focus on the feast or the festival of whatever it is at that time of year. He gives the Passover feast, the celebration of the first harvest, the festival of the harvest, the festival of the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the festival of booths or tabernacles or shelters, depending on which one it is. And during these times, that's a time for you to stop everything and focus in on these acts of love. You stop everything and you celebrate the relationship that you have with God. And so everyone would do this all the time. They would continually go back and they would rekindle their relationship with God by celebrating, by doing these acts of love. One of the key aspects of these festivals, all of them, was that everybody would gather together and the scripture would be read to them. Now think about it. These people in the Old Testament, they probably, most of them, didn't know how to read. And they sure didn't have a copy of God's word on their own. And so they would get together at these certain times of the year, and these would be key times when they would hear God's word proclaimed to them. And it would spark something inside of them. Right? I mean, I think of that scene from The Grinch, you know, where he's got the heart three times too small, but he starts to rescue Whoville, right? And his heart expands and gets bigger and bigger, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's kind of what I think about. When they would hear the word of the Lord proclaimed, it would just expand their heart. It would really remind them of who they were and who God is. And they would get together, and when they would hear these things, Jeremiah tells us that hearing the word caused joy and a desire to devour the word. Yeah. So they would get together, and they would probably read Psalms, you know. Psalm 19 says, "The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living." Psalm 119 says, "Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight." Psalm 112 says, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands." Psalm 1 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." And they would hear the word, and they would say, "Yes, God is good. Yes, his commands are true and are wonderful. And yes, he is our God." The next blank on your page is this truth: the works of love cultivate the emotions of love. The works of love cultivate the emotions of love. It means that when they would get together, they would do these works of love, these feasts and festivals, and it would cultivate the emotion. It would rekindle the fire. You know what this is like. How many of you guys are like me, and at home somewhere, you have a treadmill or an elliptical or something like that that's sitting and collecting dust like mine is? Come on, you can tell the truth. Three of us? Come on, really? All right, several of us do. Good. All right, so I've got one of these at home, and I love my elliptical trainer. It's great. It's really, really cool, and I will go for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time running on this thing very, very faithfully, but then I'll just kind of drop out of that. You know, I'll just stop for a while. And after a few days, after a few weeks, after a few months, I'll be walking by that thing, and I realize, oh, where did this come from? We have one of these, you know, and I just kind of will forget about it. And I'll go for days looking at it, and I'll be like, I really ought to be running on that thing. But you know, there's ice cream in the freezer right now, you know? I really ought to be running on that thing, but SportsCenter's coming on, you know? I mean, I really ought to be running on that thing, but I just don't feel like it. And so as long as that's my mentality, as long as I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it. You know, as long as I'm not running on that thing, I'm not running on it. And so one day, here's what'll happen. Mark, you can probably relate to this. One day, I'll just look at it and say, today's the day. Today's the day I'm getting back on that elliptical. And so I'll go put on my shorts and get my water bottle, and I'll run on the elliptical. And I will sweat like a big fat pig, right? I mean, I'll have sweat running down my back, and I'll be hurting and in pain. And that first day back on, it's difficult. But I'll push through, and I'll do it a second day and a third day, right? Maybe a fourth day. But by that fifth day or so, I've been doing this for several days now, building up the consistency, doing the works of this. And guess what? By that fifth day, I wake up in the morning and I can't wait to get on that thing. It's one of the highlights of my day. I can't wait to be, because my energy level goes up. I feel very good, and I feel like I've exhausted myself a little bit, but it really creates something more in me. It's just nothing better than getting some good, consistent exercise. Am I right? And so when you push through and do it, all of a sudden you love doing it. See, the works of love cultivate the emotions of love. In your relationship with your spouse, sometimes you don't feel like saying something nice. Sometimes you don't feel like paying a compliment. Sometimes you don't feel like stepping out of your way to do something for them, to self-sacrifice a little bit so that they can be blessed. Sometimes you don't feel like it, but sometimes we just got to do it. We just got to put it on our calendar. We just got to get up off the couch. We just got to do that thing, whatever that is, because the works of love cultivate the emotions of love. You may not feel like it today, but push through just a little bit, and it will cultivate the emotions of love. And the works of love are so important for us to do. They're such an important sign for us to give of the love that we have for each other. Because our marriages draw a picture of our relationship with God. They draw a picture of Christ and the church. Our marriages mirror the gospel. And that's really the most important thing, isn't it? I mean, the acts, the signs that we give, they should mirror the sign that God gave us. Because, you know, God shouldn't have loved us, should he? He shouldn't have loved us. Because here we all are, broken sinners, far away from God, in rebellion against him, and deserving death because our old nature is so corrupt and so broken. Yeah, we deserve to be punished by a holy God, but John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus came and took the punishment for my sin. Instead of me paying for it, God punished Jesus in my place. He died for me and rose again so that I could have forgiveness and have a relationship with him. That's how much God loved me. God demonstrated his love by giving me Jesus right when I needed him. Next blank on your page is this: Jesus is the ultimate sign of God's love. Jesus is the ultimate sign of God's love. The ultimate gift. John 15 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. 1 John 3 says that we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Real love is Jesus giving up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our, how about spouses? We ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters, for our spouses especially. That's exactly what Jesus did. That's what real love is. Real love isn't feeling good in your relationship, because I got news for you. You're not always going to feel good in your relationship. You're not always going to feel the emotions of love. But real love is doing the actions of love even when you don't feel like it. Real love is giving of yourself even when you want to be selfish. Real love is saying, hey, I see what you need. I see who you need me to become, and I will become what you need so that you can be the person God wants you to be. That's what real love is. That's what Jesus did for me. And that's what he calls us to do for our spouses. So what are some of the signs you can do? What are some of the signs that you can actually undertake in your marriage to show godly love, to demonstrate a Christian marriage? Well, I say you always got to start small. Start where you're at. Because, you know, it's really, really hard. I don't want to suggest that you go today and you plan out a cruise for 20 days and you give a bouquet of roses and, you know, I'm eternally yours forever. You know, I'm not suggesting that's what you do, unless that's where you're at. If that's where you're at, go for it, man. All more power to you. But I'm saying start small. If you've gotten in a rut, if you're just in that rut and you're tired and you're weary and you haven't had very many actions of love, I don't say start small. Couple of things that we've done in our relationship recently, I just wanted to kind of tell you about. My wife has shown me love. We had a vacation time planned for this past spring break. She's off work. She works at the school, so we get to go on very specific times away. And so we had some time, and you know, her dream vacation would be to go lay on a beach somewhere. Right? Is that about right? Or to be on a cruise ship for a while. That's what her dream vacation would be. Now me, I can't stand either of those two ideas. So we don't go on a lot of vacations because she wants to go one way, I want to go the other way usually. But this year she decided, she just says to me, she goes, hey, why don't we go to Washington, D.C.? I would like to go to Washington, D.C. And she knows that I would love that because I'm a little bit of a history buff. I like to learn things. I would love to go walk around and to see the history and to see the monuments and all that kind of, I'd love that. So we booked the trip, man, and we went to Washington. It was about halfway through that trip, I began to realize, oh, this is my vacation, not her vacation. She doesn't love this, but she chose this because she knew I wanted that. Yeah, that is an act of self-sacrificing love. And I think that was pretty amazing. One of the things I love to do, just to show a sign of love, is, you know, we were down a car for a little while in our family because of a car crash. And so we were always kind of having to juggle cars. And so one of the things I loved to do was to be the one to take Sherry to work in the morning and pick her up again in the afternoon. It was great for me because I loved the chance for us just to get some alone time, some focused time in the car together to talk about each other's day or whatever it was. I loved being able, having the opportunity just to drop everything at work and get over to the school to pick her up just at the right time. I liked to be there early rather than late so that I could be waiting on her instead of her having to stand around and wait on me. I loved that. It just really gave us a good opportunity to spend some time together. Just a little thing, a little way to show love to each other. How can you show a sign of love? What's some action that you can undertake to show godly love to your spouse? One of the tools I want to help you with that might kind of encourage you is this book that we have available right here at the church in the lobby. It's called The Five Love Languages. And this book is all about learning which of the five love languages your spouse communicates in the best. It's sort of like learning how to put a TV commercial on exactly the channel that she's watching or that he's watching, you know? Because if you're communicating love, but in the wrong love language, you know, they don't really get it. They don't really appreciate it. So you might be trying to communicate through gifts, but her love language is words of affirmation, not gifts. So she'll say thank you, but the thing that really connects to her is that word of affirmation. I want to encourage you to get this book because it worked for me. We just took the test again recently, the love languages test again a couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was this week actually, and it reminded me of what our love languages were for each other. I've been expressing love to her through gifts. You know, I like taking her the Diet Coke and the Reese's cups to school because I think that really shows love. Well, it reminded me that her love language is not gifts, it's words of affirmation and quality time. So I was reminded, that's great. I need to show her love better. So no more Reese's and Diet Coke for you, babe. Sorry. From now on, because it's words of affirmation, I'm going to send you lots of affirming text messages all day long. And because of quality time, I'm just going to type them really slow, right? So that's how I'm going to be showing you love from now on because that's your love language. Will that work for you? No, you still need the Diet Coke and the Reese's. That's what I figured. That's kind of what I figured. So I just want to encourage you to start where you are. Get this book. It's 10 bucks out there in the lobby. We don't make a dime off of it, and it's the cheapest price you're going to find it anywhere. It'll help you learn. You can cheat. Here's the cheat. Go straight to the back. Y'all take the test, and then just read the chapters that apply to those love languages. Why go through the whole book, all right? Okay. Sorry, Gary Chapman. I hope that doesn't make you mad. Here's the key distinctive of a Christian marriage, the key distinctive is that I show signs of love that don't point to me. You see, in a non-Christian marriage, you may show signs of love that point to your spouse. In a pagan marriage, you'll show signs of love that point to yourself. But in a Christian marriage, you'll show signs of love point to God, because my marriage draws a picture of my relationship with God, right? The last blank on your page is this: my signs come together to draw a picture of God. When all those signs that you draw and that you make line up, your spouse will receive your love, but will better understand God's love as a result. That's what a Christian marriage is all about. So here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like us to do something a little bit differently today than what we normally do. I know that I can stand here and talk about how good and great marriage is and how we ought to love each other like Christ loved us, and we should. That's what God designed for us to do. But I know that a lot of Christian marriages are hanging by a thread. I also know that a lot of Christian marriages just are in a rut. You know, just kind of stuck in the same old. But whatever the case may be, whether you're newlywed, whether you've been married for years, whether you're stuck in a rut or whether you're hanging on by a thread, no matter what situation you're in, I believe that our marriages need prayer. I believe our marriages need prayer. I believe the enemy wants to, think about this, the enemy wants to attack our marriages more than anything. Why? Because the best picture of God in this world is drawn in Christian marriage. So if he can ruin our Christian marriages, he can ruin the image of God in this world. And so he's out to destroy marriages. That means yours. and mine. We are targets. So I believe we need prayer. So here's what I'd like for us to do. If you are here in this room today and you would just like someone to pray for you and your marriage, I'd like to invite you to come to the front with me, and I've asked some people to come with you, and we're going to just pray for our marriages.
If you've listened this far along into this podcast, you know that at the end of the service, we had a special dedicated prayer time just for marriages. And I believe that all marriages, all Christian marriages, need prayer. Mine does, and I believe yours does too. And so you may not have been there on Sunday morning, so I would like to pray for you and for your marriage right now. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of marriage. Thank you for the joy and the sense of completion that it can bring. God, thank you that we can see you better because of our marriages. But Lord, I know that the enemy is on the attack, and Lord is trying to destroy your image by destroying our marriages. So Father, I ask that you would put a hedge of protection around each person's marriage that's listening to this podcast right now. God, I pray that you would give them an extra special measure of divine grace and peace. God, that you would unify marriages once again. God, that you would let these marriages develop roots that grow deeply together. Lord, that they would find forgiveness, that you would help them restore their passion for each other. Lord, that you would cause them to restore the love that they once had for each other. And God, that that love would continue to burn ever brightly between them. Lord, they can't do it on their own. You give us grace to help in time of need. So Lord, I ask that you would fill each man and each woman with your Holy Spirit, that you would empower them to love each other as Christ loves us. Father, give us grace in our marriages. Give us longevity in our marriages. God, help us to stand like shining cities on a hill for you. Lord, I pray that we would raise children who know you because mom and dad drew such a great picture of you in our marriages. And Lord, I pray that you would make our marriages last forever so that the world around us may see you when they see us. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing and for what you're going to do in our marriages. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.